For years, Minky Couture has been donating blankets to NICUs across the country. Owner Sandy Henry's grandson was born at 30 weeks, and she placed a mini blanket in her grandson's incubator. We want to help other NICU families with the Heart of Minky program. For every adult-sized blanket purchased, Minky Couture will donate a mini-sized blanket to NICUs across the nation. Thanks to you, we can fulfill our dream to blanket the world.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Hey, hey, really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups and you feed the rest, you mute them. Turning it up, these numbers are loud. Peeping this game from a nimbus is wild. Making it rain while I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bill, I'm the best best till. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best bill, I'm the best rest till. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Hey, hey. Really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups in your.
And welcome into the Best Bell Fantasy Football Podcast and live stream. I'm Bradley Stalder, and tonight we're going to be jumping into an underdog fantasy big board draft. It's been far too long. It's been almost a year since I've jumped in the big board streets. If you remember last year, unfortunately, underdog pulled out of Michigan, but now I am visiting in Ohio. Happy to be here in the best ball streets. And without further ado, we're going to get into this draft, of course. So I'm on underdog. We're going to go to NFL, the big board. And for those not familiar with this tournament, it is a $10 entry, 112,000 plus possible entrants, $1 million in prizes, big board pre-draft best ball tournament. It is 90% filled right now, so I'm glad that I'm getting a little bit of my fix in now. Max 150 entries. I'm going to be lucky if I get a couple in during my time here in Ohio, but it is a 20-round draft, and I'm really excited to get in here. So let's jump in. We're going to hit enter, and yes, we are getting in. I'm not going to do that, but here we are, okay? And it looks like we are just about full, and I've got the 111. All right, good deal. So typically, I'll take a look at who is available here at the 111, and I've been doing a lot of drafts on FFPC and drafters and a few other places, but you know, this is typically the time where I've seen like Jonathan Taylor go off, where you get into the wide receivers of CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown. Austin Eckler seems to have fallen off a little bit, and I think that might be a mistake. Maybe the drafting market has dropped him a little bit given the trade demands out of LA, but I'm not there to do that. I think Austin Eckler can very easily return on back end first round draft capital. I think this could be clearly like a Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler pairing, and then you just hammer wide receivers pretty much the rest of the way. Maybe throw in, you know, a quarterback, throw in a tight end, but we'll see. Justin Jefferson, unsurprisingly, goes as the 101, and we'll see where we get to near the end. But Ship Chaser is in this one, it looks like. That's the only name that I recognize in this group. Hopefully we've got some others who are tuning in. Yeah. Jose says he can't wait, and good to be in a state that has underdog, right? Yeah, this is a lot of fun. y'all know how much I enjoy drafting an underdog. It was a real shame when, you know, I've only had to travel out of state. So hopefully they'll return to Michigan soon. And that would be a lot of fun. But in the meantime, I'll be doing, my plan is to do about one best ball draft a week, whether that is on Drafters or FFPC or DraftKings or some other site until Underdog returns. And I did reach out to the Underdog people, representatives, and they said that it is in the ball is in the court of the state of Michigan people. So hopefully that can get resolved soon enough. Nevertheless, we're looking here. I've got one pick away and Jonathan Taylor goes off. I was talking up, you know, Austin Eckler. So I think that's the round I want to go with. So we're going to go with Austin Eckler there. Happy to get him even in half PPR setting. So I'm going to be happy about that. And then we'll look, maybe Barkley will come back to me. I'm not in on Bijan Robinson as much. I was talking with, you know, Billy Muzio, and Josh Larkey mentioned this on the podcast about a month ago, and we were all talking about the possible landing spots for Bijan. And unfortunately, like, it was difficult to be able to find, you know, another place where he can access ceiling. And even in some of the mock drafts that I've done, it seems like he's going to get some tough sledding. Like, there's been rumors right now that it's Tyler Allgeier and the Atlanta Falcons who he might be sharing in a backfield with, which I think would be tough for his fantasy value, like on an upside, you know, scale. Maybe he would be able to access elite ceiling near the end of the season, which would be good for the playoffs. And that's your justification for taking him this early. But when we're talking about like consistently producing, there may not be very many Bijan teams who make it to the finals if he's not producing and on a team that, you know, has a Tyler Allgeier of sorts, who was one of the best PFF rushers last year. He was number one in the rookie class, and his yards after contact per attempt was very, very strong. I think he was the best in the NFL or one of the best in the NFL. So Tyler Allgeier was a respectable running back, over 1,000 yards last year, and it would be a real shame to be pairing Bijan Robinson in Atlanta with, you know, Tyler Allgeier. It would be better if they had a quarterback who would be able to get them into scoring position. Right now it's Desmond Ridder and I think Taylor Heinicke are the two quarterbacks currently on the roster. So the Atlanta Falcons very much are in quarterback mode, but I don't trust that they'll be able to get one. Now maybe they make a trade and acquire, I could see like Ryan Tannehill ending up in Atlanta, but even then, Ryan Tannehill can only get one fantasy relevant player. We saw that with AJ Brown, and literally there was no one else in the receiving core. So it would be either Kyle Pitts or Drake London. And that's going to be tough for us fantasy managers to be able to predict. So we're coming up on the end of the second round. Let me see if I can pull up the board here. Yeah, let's share this tab instead so we can see the board pretty well. Okay. Yeah, let's adjust. And there we go. So we're coming back around. And oh no, I hate it when this happens. So we see Justin Jefferson round one, but then the 101 goes Jacoby Myers at the 212, and then Juju Smith-Schuster at the 3-1. I hate it when this happens, when you see like this might even get thrown out. Like, this is so bad. Like Juju at the 3-1. I'm so frustrated right now. It ruins this draft almost, because, you know, I'm trying to take this seriously and now we're into the last 10%. So nevertheless, no other real surprises here. Maybe Chris Olave a little higher than what I've seen him before, but Garrett Wilson, you know, at the top end of the second round is an interesting pick. Debo Samuel going in the third round, Josh Allen going in the third round. That's surprising that he's lasted that long. I've seen him go round two pretty often, especially since the Stephon Diggs guy took Patrick Mahomes instead of Josh Allen. I view all three of those, Hurts, Mahomes, and Josh Allen, all in the same tier. So Let's take a look at who I want next. I've gone running back. So I'll be looking at wide receiver in this spot. And unfortunately, we've seen some wide receivers go off that we were not anticipating, like Jacoby Myers and Juju Smith-Schuster. Obviously, those were not picks that we want. I would be interested in like a DeAndre Hopkins at this spot if he's still there. Hopefully those who are drafting near me don't hear this. Tony Pollard at this spot is really interesting as well. But DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is still in that wide receiver one category. We've seen elite target share still from him this past year. And even if Kyler isn't there the first couple of weeks, I still think that DeAndre Hopkins is going to command a significant target share. And even if he's traded, that would open up wherever he's at, the team is going to use him, and this is a target hog, so I'm not concerned on that front. Question is, what do we do moving forward at wide receiver, or is there another value? And right now, I don't want to take Travis Etienne. Good thing I didn't have to, because now we're looking at, like, should I take Justin Fields at this spot? Should I take Amari Cooper at this spot? And right now, like, pushing quarterbacks up might be the way to go. Although there are LA Chargers, maybe I go with some Chargers wide receivers, some Mike Williams, and then maybe later some Keenan Allen. That could be a consideration as well as we're into it. Okay, so Ramondre Stevenson goes off the board. And I do like Amari Cooper this year as well. I think mid wide receiver two is a perfect price for him. Wide receiver 18. I think Deshaun Watson gets back to what we had seen before. That would be big time. Let me make one adjustment. And then Jose put in the comments, Ridley at round three is rich for me. I think so too. I think Ridley at round three, I am pro Ridley, but I'm not that pro Ridley at this point in the offseason. I've been taking a lot of round four, round five, Calvin Ridley. For him to go in round three, I'm not behind that. So I would need a little price reduction if I want to continue to do that. But maybe that's where things are trending. Okay, let me go to notifications and adjust that, because I think I turned on too many of the underdog notifications. We're going to turn off the sound one. There we go. Okay. This was going off on my phone as well every time. And let's look at the board while we're chatting here. If you want to comment and you find this content helpful, make sure you hit that red subscribe button too. We're almost at 1,000 subs, and that's as many of you know, that's a hefty deal for small creators like myself. So I appreciate in advance any support that you can show the channel. But let's take a look at any surprises here. Derrick Henry going, at the 3-8. I would love to be smashing some Derrick Henry. If I didn't start running back, Derrick Henry here in the third round would be a really nice pick. I don't hate the Christian Watson pick at pick 4-6, the 42nd. Many people are saying, well, he's Gabe Davis 2.0. And I say that's not true. He had early second round draft capital. His yards per out run were phenomenal. We saw consistent spike weeks and targets commanded. And it didn't matter, whether the offense was good or bad, frankly, Christian Watson was going to get his. So it's believing that the Packers offense is competent enough that once in a while, Christian Watson is going to have these big games. And he's got the athletic profile. He's got the draft capital to his name. He's had previous production. It's wheels up for Christian Watson. So I like him in round four. Part of me is like, I don't want to look at the turn because I've already seen Jacoby Myers and Juju Smith-Schuster go off at the 2-3 turn. And nevertheless, we're here. We're going to enjoy this. Mark Andrews goes off the fourth. That seems like a reasonable thing. But then you go double tight end. TJ Hockenson. Oh, man. Okay. Well, this is not tight end premium. So unfortunately, even the best of tight ends, like you want one spike week from them. Yeah, that would be fine. But it's very difficult. It's almost, it's not impossible, but the chances that your second tight end is your flex play is very low. And if it is, it's because all of your other players really sucked. So TJ Hockenson going in the fifth round, Jahan Dotson going at the 5-2. What? What? Okay, this is wild, wild stuff. Okay. I've never seen, what? Okay, this is wild. I'm sorry, guys. I just can't believe that this is what is happening right now. All right, we are a few picks away, five picks away, and I do have my sights set on one wide receiver in particular. Kyle Pitts goes off here at the 5-7. I still think that's a bit early for Kyle Pitts. I mean, can Pitts have a big game here and there? Absolutely. But it's my concern and why I'm not buying Kyle Pitts right now is because I don't trust the quarterback in Atlanta. I talked about this already, but even if they bring in a Ryan Tannehill type, only one of Pitts or London is going to get fed. It's probably going to be London if I'm betting. So Kyle Pitts, like I think that there's major concern with not him, he himself, but with the offense and the quarterback. So if the Atlanta Falcons do address, like if they do get back in on Lamar Jackson, or if they do make a big splash, like as a sleeper for Aaron Rodgers, I'm sniped on Jameson Williams. Are you kidding me? I was hoping to get some Jameson Williams. I think there's a significant teardrop there. Yeah, so we're going to look and see. Justin Herbert looks like he might be a good pick here. Yeah, let's go Herbert. Draft. Boom. Yeah, sure. We'll take Herbert, stack him with Austin Eckler. I like that. Lockett goes off the board. Godwin goes off the board. And then I'm still not happy with, you know, we're into round six. I'm not happy with only having two wide receivers. But if we're going to go with Arizona, then let's go with Arizona, Marquise Brown and DeAndre Hopkins. Either way, like, Hopkins and Brown could coexist near the end of the season with Kyler, or we could see DeAndre Hopkins getting traded and then Marquise Brown moving up to that wide receiver one. I think at pick 64 or pick 62, ADP 64, I think that's a fine spot for Marquise Brown. I don't hate that. I did want to get another wide receiver. I was thinking maybe Treylon Burks, maybe it could have been Mike Evans. The quarterback position for Tampa is looking extremely suspect. And maybe that's a mistake on my part. Maybe I'm just not trusting. But Mike Evans really disappointed last year, except if you somehow made it to the finals with Mike Evans, right? He obviously 200 yards, three touchdowns that won you know, many championships or entry into championship week. But you didn't get there because of Mike Evans. So maybe that made you unique. But, you know, I'd rather take Marquise Brown at that spot. And especially with the depressed ADP before a possible DeAndre Hopkins trade. All right. Jose Hobson, would you wait at tight end until the second half of the draft, round 10 plus, if you don't get Kelsey? You know, I think it's about the tight end value. If you see someone fall, like I saw in a Pete Overzet draft, I think Kyle Pitts dropped like 14 spots, like more than a round. And I think you want to just take the value at that point, especially for a player that we know is a higher upside type of receiver, where, you know, I talk with you about like drafting players at the right price. Like you might may or may not have access to a Kyle Pitts that late, but maybe it's another tight end. Maybe someone has fallen So I would consider, you know, tight ends later, but depending upon who I draft would change the strategy. So if you get Kelce early, like, you're probably not going to take almost any other tight ends because you're banking on, you know, that first round pick to deliver for you. If he doesn't deliver for you, then it's a failed pick, frankly. So, I mean, it just depends on if you get a nice value on some of these players. Like, I'm looking at some tight ends, like, who may be coming up here at the end of round seven that I would be very interested in. I mean, heck, even Dallas Goedert right now, it's pick 75 and Dallas Goedert is still not off the board. And I'm in on Dallas Goedert at that price, like at least a half a round, if not a full round. Like, you know what these players are, and if you get a good value on them, those are the ones to target. So depends on if you get a nice value. You don't want to, like, pass up Dallas Goedert because you are like a Dallas Goedert value, because you're saying, you know, I'm out on this player, or I'm out on the strategy totally. You're not going to pass up, you know, a good player because that's not part of your strategy. That doesn't make sense, you know, to me. So see, Dallas Goedert goes off for the chip chasers, right? You know, sharps in the room, take that value, take a good player at value. So maybe someone will come off the board as a nice value for me. So that's what I would say, Jose, is I do like Kelce in that first round, but there really aren't very many tight ends who can access league winning weeks. Like, the argument could be made for Kyle Pitts. The argument could be made for Darren Waller or George Kittle or, you know, the Mark Andrews of the world. But the argument can't be made for tight ends like Cole Kmet, you know, especially in this new offense. The argument can't really be made for Tyler Higbee. The argument can't be made for a Gerald Everett, right? A Hayden Hurst, right? So you're not, if you can access elite upside, like, I like Freiermuth as a floor, but he's not a league, like, he's not a league winner type of tight end. He's going to be consistently a tight end 10, tight end 5, tight end 7, tight end 8, but not going to get the yardage, touchdowns, etc. with Deontay Johnson and George Pickens in the offense, and of course Najee Harris as well. So this might be a nice spot here. We'll look at what wide receivers are available. I really do like this player. I really like Rashad Bateman at this spot in round 7. He feels like an auto smash pick this entire time, and I got, you know, 4 receivers, and I got sniped on Darren Waller. I was hoping to get Darren Waller. Shoot. Oh, well. Oh, well. He was going to be a nice little value there. But looking at who is still left. I'm looking here, and there's a nice value on Isaiah Pacheco. So let's go with Pacheco. Yeah, that was pick 86, and his ADP is 75. So that's a full round on Isaiah Pacheco. I don't hate that. You're tying yourself to a good Chiefs offense and a rookie who played really well last year. Super speed running back. And yes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is expected to be back, but Jerick McKinnon is much older. And I think that the Chiefs liked Isaiah Pacheco. There's been no rumbles about, oh, Clyde Edwards-Helaire deserves his rollback, or Isaiah Pacheco, you know, that was a one-time thing. No, I think Isaiah Pacheco, like, I don't draft a lot of Pacheco, but to get him as a nice value is a good pick here. Okay. Jose says, do you like any of the rookie wide receivers this year? And I think the answer is clearly Jaxon Smith-Njigba, right? He is the number one, the number one wide receiver in the class by far. And I think it's a clear tier break from him. But in a lot of the mock drafts, I've seen Quentin Johnston drafted in the top 10 as well. I've seen a few mocks where he's gone there, and you can't ignore that type of draft capital. even with some of the flaws that Quentin Johnson may have, if he gets top 10 draft capital, you know that he's going to be in line for a large workload right away. Like within the first 3-4 games, he's going to be getting good target share. Like we usually don't see flameouts from that early. You know, Kevin White was mostly because of injuries. So, if he gets first round draft, or not just first round, but top 10 draft capital, I like him. I also like Zay Flowers really, really late. There's been some people who have been going crazy on Zay Flowers, and I'm like, hold your horses, peeps. You know, so we'll see if Zay Flowers can produce right away. I feel like he's one of those players that will come on during the last couple weeks of the season. Maybe he'll have more usefulness earlier in the season, depending upon landing spot. But I think Zay Flowers' immediate impact is going to be dependent upon landing spot. I think eventually he's going to be like a Golden Tate type, where you're gonna get a lot of PPR fantasy points from him. He'll eventually fall into the end zone. He'll be a fantasy producer. But the question is how soon, and landing spot will determine that. So I like Zay Flowers. I like Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Quentin Johnson is also there because of projected draft capital. Okay, so we're seeing, let me scroll down here, a bit of a quarterback plunge here. Deshaun Watson went off. I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping I could snag him. But like wide receiver wise, those are some that I'm targeting. And there's been a huge running back run. I started one with Isaiah Pacheco, and then Algier Mixon, James Cook, Rashad White, Zach Charbonnet, James Conner, Khalil Herbert, and Rashad Penny all have gone off at this point. So pretty, pretty wild stuff. Lots of fun, though, on Underdog Fantasy. And I want to thank everyone for joining me for right now. We are in round 9. And if you like the content, you find this helpful, make sure you're smashing that subscribe button. I'm going to be doing best ball drafts, whether it's on Underdog, Drafters, FFPC, or other places throughout this offseason. So make sure you're tuning in, checking it out, drafting with me. And this, as I said, this is a lot of fun. Ooh, we might get some value on some wide receivers here, hopefully here in the next moment. We've got two picks ahead of me, although I've been sniped multiple times so far, where a player goes off and I'm like, oh man, I hoped that he would be. Jordan Addison goes off. I was hoping I could get Addison. Michael Thomas goes off. Yeah, so two snipes in a row of players that I really, really like. It's a shame that Deshaun Watson went off. I really don't see a tight end coming off for me for a while. So we're going to be looking probably at some wide receiver here. And let's go with Elijah Moore. If we believe in Deshaun Watson, then we should be believing in the rest of this Cleveland offense. And that's Elijah Moore, DeAndre Hopkins, David Njoku. I am not a Donovan Peoples-Jones guy, so be that as it may, excuse me, but I'm looking here and it's pick 110 and Zay Flowers is staring at me right now, and I'll take Zay Flowers here. That's beautiful. I love some Zay Flowers in the 10th round at pick 110. And these first round wide receivers have pretty nice spike weeks, right? The reason why teams invest first-round draft capital is because they believe that they're good. And if they're good, they're going to command targets. And they're commanding targets, they're probably going to get, you know, passes thrown their way. And Zay Flowers just tends to win at football. So to get Hopkins, Cooper, Brown, Bateman, Elijah Moore, Zay Flowers, that could work out really well. I will probably be looking for another quarterback.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Or tight end here, unless there's some running back value. So the only thing I'm not really going to be looking for over the next couple rounds is wide receiver, because I feel like I've got a really strong wide receiver room with Hopkins, Cooper, Brown, Bateman, Moore, and Flowers. Okay. Yeah, Jose says I can find these underdog drafts. You can get good running backs around 10 to 13. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'll be looking at. Right now, some that are available on the board are Brian Robinson, Kenneth Gainwell, Damian Harris. I'm big on Damian Harris. Same thing with the Samaje Perine and Antonio Gibson. And those are some of my targets here in rounds 10, 11, 12 as we're moving forward. Okay. I may also take let me star a couple players just to make sure I've got them queued up. In the meantime, yeah, if y'all are new, you're enjoying the content, make sure you're smashing that subscribe button. Lots of fun here on the Best Bell YouTube channel. I'm also working on getting some new overlays. I'm working on getting a new intro video. There's a lot of great things trending our way here in 2023. We're approaching 1,000 subs, so that's really exciting. And yeah, lots of good things are happening. Okay, good deal. So I'm just going to mark down a few other running backs and players that I would be comfortable taking at these spots. Right now, I have a 1-3-6-0 build going into round 11. All right. And if you have questions, you want to chat with me, throw your comments in the comment section. Appreciate all of you jumping in. Lots of fun here in the Best Bell YouTube channel. And make sure you hit that red subscribe button if you like the content. Okay. So right now I have Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Saquon Barkley, Isaiah Pacheco, DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper, Marquise Hollywood Brown, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, and Zay Flowers drafted. And I'm drafting with, well, not with, but against the Ship Chasers here. This is, they've got quite a team going. Right now, the Ship Chasers have Trey Lance, McCaffrey, Damian Pierce, Rashad White, DK Metcalf, Debo Samuel, Drake London, Sky Moore, Josh Palmer, George Kittle, and Dallas Goedert. Kittle and Goddard together. That's probably just the value pick. I mentioned that earlier. Nevertheless, double tight end is usually suboptimal, but getting Goddard at such a value was, I mean, you had to do it. All right. So let's see. It's pick 131, and I will be very interested in taking a second quarterback here if I can. And this would be a nice little stack regardless later on. And it would be a nice compliment to Justin Herbert, who Herbert had a down season last year, but we would expect Kellen Moore be able to help Justin Herbert access elite upside, elite passing upside. But also we saw some mobility that Kellen Moore allowed. Why is this thing going off? My goodness, it's so loud. Okay, let's go with Kyler Murray. We're going to draft Kyler Murray. Okay. And then I'm back on the clock. Zay Jones and Wandell Robinson go off the board. And look, I'm not seeing a lot of value left. But if I'm going with a running back room that has upside, let's go with, you know what, let's go with Samaje Perine. There's been a lot of positive buzz out of Denver about Samaje Perine getting significant work. And I know that that Matthew Berry article circulated a couple weeks ago, but even before that, I wrote about the concerns I had for Javonte Williams' progression. And the Matthew Berry article just confirmed my thoughts. So I appreciate, you know, the support, when, the shout outs, you know, when I said that Javonte Williams back at the beginning of February was one of my biggest sells. And if we're selling Javonte Williams, we should be buying the backup. And right now, Samaje Perine came to Denver for less money, reportedly, than what he was offered by the Cincinnati Bengals. So I like that for Samaje Perine. He's a perfect pick in as my running back four. 134 overall, I think, is a great spot. Okay, Jose says, is the trend of early quarterback drafts going to continue into the summer? Well, you know, here's the thing: is I've seen quarterback dropping over the last month, so I think that as we go throughout the summer and we get more clarity about landing spots, we could see more players move up the board and quarterbacks fall down the board. So if I were, you know, as I will continue to do, I'll be drafting throughout this off season, throughout the summer. And I'll be waiting on, I'll be drafting quarterbacks, you know, later and later at the further we get throughout the off season, because we're going to get clarity about the Aaron Rodgers landing spot. We're going to get clarity about DeAndre Hopkins landing spot. I think Hopkins is a borderline second, third round pick. Realistically, I think Tony Pollard is going to jump up boards. Once we get more clarity, the reason why, let's take a step back. The reason why quarterbacks are being pushed up the board is because they are, number one, the highest scorers typically, and number two is they are the most secure. We aren't worried about what they're going to offer us. Their upside is there. We know what they have. Not a lot of things are going to shift for those players. We know Jalen Hurts, we know Patrick Mahomes, we know Josh Allen are all going to be elite level producers. And when you start having questions about your second, third, fourth, fifth round picks in your fantasy drafts, yeah, you're going to probably go with more security and safety. Whereas once we get further into the summer, that clarity of landing spots for many of the position players and the depth charts start to just shake out. And we get more information. So with that in mind, you're going to have to think about how the trend of quarterback throughout the offseason is going to be that quarterbacks, even elite ones, are going to start trickling down draft boards a little bit more. So that's what I would anticipate. Is it right now, the reason why they're going so late is, or so early, is because we know we can trust them. Okay. So let's take a look here. There's not a lot of super value here. Let's go with Jeff Wilson. I like Jeff Wilson. Re-signed to the Miami Dolphins, gets me my fifth running back. I think I'm pretty set with running back. And now we can start looking at some tight ends. Or wide receivers. Tight ends or wide receivers. I mean, Rashid Shaheed is there. MVS is there. Nico Collins. There we go. Nico Collins was wide receiver 35 in PFF receiving grade last year, and he was wide receiver 33 in yards per route run. And he's being drafted as, what, the wide receiver 75? wide receiver 75 or so. Yeah, give me some Nico Collins at this spot. Product out of Michigan, 20%+ target shares, and Brandon Cooks was just traded. John Mechie, we have questions about how immediately he's going to produce, a second round pick coming off an ACL tear and cancer. So tremendous, you know, work by John Mechie to be able to get back out there and be trending the right way. But Nico Collins seems to be, you know, the clear one until I would assume the Texans address that wide receiver position in the draft. And then they'll get a quarterback upgrade. The offense should be better with Dalton Schultz, right? There are more weapons. So I think Nico Collins is a good 14th round pick. All right. So, and I didn't want to take a tight end at that spot and reaching too far. There's just too much grossness. I don't know if that's a thing, but maybe it's a thing. Okay. But there are a few others that I'm going to put in the queue while you wait with me. All right. Yeah, there we go. There's some value, I think, with some of the late round tight ends that I'll talk about when we get there. There should be some immediate producers based on the projected draft capital that we're seeing from some of these tight ends. Like, they're going to step, like, if there's a tight end who steps into Green Bay, it's just Tyler Davis and Josiah DeGuara. And, like, DeGuara, because Mercedes Lewis is gone, DeGuara or Tyler Davis probably going to be the blocking tight end. And then you've got a receiving tight end. Probably a first or second round pick is where the Packers have been mocked to be taking a tight end. So that should be a pretty close to immediate producer for Jordan Love, especially if you get to near the end of the season where you need just some sprinkling of points from a tight end. That might be super valuable. Okay. Let's take a look at some other options. Well, I've got Herbert and I've got Kyler Murray. And then Eckler, Barkley, Pacheco, Samaje Perine, Jeff Wilson at running back, DeAndre Hopkins, Amari Cooper, Marquise Hollywood Brown, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Zay Flowers, and Nico Collins all at wide receiver. I have a 2-5-7 build. I'm pretty set at running back. I may add a little bit more at wide receiver, but I'll be looking to hammer tight end here in a moment. There are a couple tight ends that I have my eye on here at this 15th round. Just looking for some spike weeks. Heck. Just looking for some spike weeks at this point. Okay. And I just want to take a moment to thank all those who are tuning in with me tonight. I know it's a little bit later than my normal streams, but, you know, spend quality time with my family is important on my spring break. So there you go. Yeah. Jose's asking three tight ends by the end of the draft. Probably because if I'm looking at my running back room and like Eckler, Barkley need to be my producers, like they need to produce. And then I've got Pacheco, P. Ryan Wilson. This needs to be that not like super fragile or hyper fragile running back build, but I just need to be satisfied with those five running backs. So yeah, we're going to have to go with three tight ends, I believe, by the end of the draft. And good. I'll be able to stack here with Trey McBride. I do like stacking Trey McBride in Arizona. He should be the starting tight end at the beginning of the draft. There we go. And let's see. There are some other late tight ends, but Gesicki also at ADP. Okay, so Trey McBride and Mike Gesicki are my tight ends right now. I like Gesicki's upside. I always have. I wrote him up last summer as a good for best ball, but not good for redraft option. And that proved true. There were a couple very nice spike weeks for Mike Gesicki, and then there were some bad weeks. And I anticipated that Gesicki would be.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Traded or not franchise tagged, but the franchise tag didn't make sense to me. Like, it just didn't fit with the offense. They had Waddle. They had Tyreek Hill. They bring in, you know, Cedric Wilson. They brought in a third wide receiver. And there just wasn't room for Gesicki to eat because he's not your typical tight end. So Gesicki, unfortunately, like, only had a couple of nice touchdown spike weeks. But other than that, you know, he was left out in the dust. So hopefully Trey McBride has more of, you know, that floor. And this might be one of those competitors because Murray stacked with Marquise Brown and Trey McBride might be very nice. So we'll see. We liked some of the spike weeks we saw from Trey McBride. We also saw Trey McBride not play well, even at the end of the year. So nevertheless, it could be a difficult, offense the first couple weeks, but that's why, you know, you have Gesicki, and I'll probably take a third tight end here. I've got my eyes on one that's coming up, but maybe it's too early. Maybe it's not for that particular tight end. I do like that tight end's upside. Okay. So we've got two quarterbacks, five running backs, seven wide receivers, and two tight ends as we're entering round 17. And we'll probably get one more tight end. We'll get another wide receiver, see if there's another. Ooh, I see one that I really do like coming up here, a little late round darling. And then getting another, so tight end, wide receiver, and then maybe a third quarterback if we can find. There are a couple of viable quarterbacks still left on the board that might be able to hold me off for the first few weeks while Kyler is working his way back from the ACL. But I think Kyler Murray is one of those undervalued quarterbacks because, you know, you're getting what are you going to draft? Like a Derek Carr who's going to access what, maybe 2, 3, 4 top 10 weeks during his time. Like, Kyler Murray can do 4 top 10 weeks over the last 10 weeks that he plays. Like, that's a median range outcome. So I think that Kyler Murray is extremely underrated, even if he misses 6 games. And I think that that's getting aggressive in the amount that he's going to miss. All right. Jose says, thanks. We'll rewatch the draft again. Have a great night. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate you stopping by, Jose. This was a lot of fun. Appreciate you popping in. Okay. So we've got a few others that I'm going to star for late. Yeah. I like some of these late round ones because there's so much hate for some of the players that just didn't perform last year, but could be valuable. Okay. So we see Jelani Woods is one that I'm considering at this spot. Ryan Tannehill, Deontay Harty. I think I'm going to go with, let's see who was their tight end situation. Yeah, let's go with Jelani Woods. And then I'll hope that the guy at the turn, Arch Goto Mega, does not take. Yeah, good. He takes Hayden Hurst. So yeah, I'm going to take Deontay Harty. That's going to be nice. Okay. Draft Deontay Harty. Boom. There we go. Oh, I was wondering what made that noise. It was my tablet. Very good. Okay. So very good. We're going to turn that off. I turned everything off because I was wondering why there were issues, but now we're all set. Okay. I finally figured it out in round 18. So I like the upside that a lot of my guys are at. And there is one quarterback that I'm interested in still on the board that has a starting role locked up. And I don't understand why he's going this late. I just don't. It makes no sense. Because we've seen this player perform well, even with a bad receiving core. We'll see. We will see. I've been drafting a lot of this quarterback late, and I don't know if he'll make it back to me in round 19, but it's worth a shot. It is worth a shot. Yeah, so right now, 2-5-8-3 build. We've got two rounds left. I appreciate all of you jumping in. This, as I said, is a lot of fun for me. I typically do these every week. And do the live stream drafts. So sometimes I bring on friends with me. Sometimes I solo. But here we are. We are in the last couple rounds of this big board draft. Okay. And I'm happy with how this is turning out. I feel like I've got a lot of depth at wide receiver. I've got some spike weak kids at the tight end position. Went power, running back, and Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray. I like those picks, and I got Herbert at a discount, and Kyler Murray I think is undervalued. And then I stacked Kyler with a few of the pieces, and I stacked Herbert with Eckler. Okay. Let me just scour the board and see if there are any other interesting picks or egregious picks as we're looking through. I like Rashawn Johnson in round 15. That's a nice little pick. I think Rashawn Johnson is trending toward getting round two or day two draft capital, maybe round two, but probably day two draft capital. Israel Abandaconda is nice, a late round pick. Tank Bigsby, we'll see how that works out. The Michael Mayer going after Tyler Higbee. I'd rather have Michael Mayer, but maybe I'm wrong there. And since he went off the board, Ryan Tannehill is one of my favorite, like round 18, 19, 20 quarterbacks because he still has a job. Like Baker Mayfield is not guaranteed the job. Sam Howell is not guaranteed the job. Desmond Ridder, not guaranteed the job. And you're drafting Ryan Tannehill, what, two rounds after Mac Jones? Four rounds after Kenny Pickett? Four rounds after Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, he should be higher. He should be in round 14, 15. So I think that is an undervalue, and I like drafting a lot of Ryan Tannehill that late when I'm searching for a third quarterback. Okay. And looking at who's left, there is a top quarterback projected for draft capital still available. And if he's not taken, maybe I will consider smash taking this particular player just for the upside, just in case. And it is Will Levis, friend of the podcast, Will Levis, drafted in round 19. I mean, if he hits, it's massive upside. If he doesn't, then so be it. All right. I'm happy with my running back room. We are at a 3-5-8-3 build. And yeah, let's see if there's any other values like at running. Oh, Clyde Edwards-Helaire might be a nice value. Yeah, last round Clyde Edwards-Helaire tied to a Kansas City offense. Yeah, give me that. Give me Clyde Edwards-Helaire last round. I didn't think I was going to take a running back, but when you have got a first round draft capital running back on the Kansas City Chiefs, like maybe I'm too stupid to quit Clyde Edwards-Helaire in round 20, but I think I'll keep scooping him up. Typically, though, I've seen Clyde Edwards-Helaire go like round 17, 18. Maybe I'm wrong, but that seems for me out of character. Nevertheless, just a recap, a 3-6-8-3 build for me and Herbert, Kyler Murray, Will Levis were my quarterbacks. Austin Eckler, Saquon Barkley, Isaiah Pacheco, Samaje Perine, Jeff Wilson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire are my running backs. Hopkins, Cooper, Hollywood Brown, my wide receivers, along with Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Zay Flowers, Nico Collins, Deontay Harty. And then at tight end, I punted that. I went Trey McBride, Mike Gesicki, and Jelani Woods are my three tight ends. And that wraps it up. We're down to the last couple picks. There were some eyebrow-raising picks at the beginning of the draft. For those who missed the beginning of the draft, it was the 101, for instance, took Justin Jefferson and then Jacoby Myers in round 2, Juju in round 3, Mark Andrews in round 4, and TJ Hockenson in round 5. Well, talk about paying the rake, you know, like, and someone's got to do it. Someone's got to do it. But nevertheless, that is, that was one of the standout drafts that we've seen. Oh man. I still like Tony Pollard going round 3 at the end of round 3, beginning of round 4. That's a real nice value for Pollard. It was my prediction. And y'all can go back through some of my videos and see that I think that Tony Pollard is going to end up being in that round 2. Maybe still behind, you know, Saquon and Bijan, but there's a lot of green grass, maybe like same tier as Kenneth Walker. So that's what I'm thinking about in these drafts is if I don't go with Eckler and Barkley, you know, if I get the 11th spot, then it considered Tony Pollard in round 3 as maybe an anchor running back light, a light anchor. Okay. So I think that wraps it up. I'll look at the Ship Chasers team too, since they're, we love those guys. They started with McCaffrey and then went DK in round 2, Debo in round 3, Drake London round 4, Kittle in round 5. Damian Pierce in round 6. Maybe that's the only one that I really disagree with so far. Dallas Goedert round 7. That was a value. Usually Goedert is going round 6. And then Rashad White. I don't hate that pick at the end of round 8. Trey Lance, Sky Moore, Josh Palmer. I don't like Josh Palmer. I don't because I anticipate that the Chargers will address that wide receiver 3 position. And Palmer, even though he commanded targets last year, was just simply bad at playing the wide receiver position. So Josh Palmer, I don't like picking him even in round 11. I need him to drop a little bit more. Romeo Dubs, Jordan Love stack happening. Sean Tucker, Chase Claypool, Khalil Shakir, Chase Brown, Israel Abanaconda, Ryan Tannehill by the Ship Chasers late, and then Albert Okwuegbunam as the third tight end in this build. Okay, cool. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. I appreciate all of you checking it out. Of course, make sure you hit that red subscribe button on the YouTube channel. And until next time, good luck in the best ball streets.
I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bill. I'm the best till into the next world. Guess I got next still. Best bill. I'm the best till into the next world. Guess I got next still.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network, with gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer.
In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.